And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Yeah, undefeated here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am the Love Bus. It'd be a beautiful Love Bus. We're still getting stuff done, getting our, you know, how we're doing it done. Donna's putting up the pictures now for Adam. But we got, Adam Kokesh on. We're going to talk. Okay. All right. Do it, baby. Push the button. Make it go where, you know. And Adam, you're talking to us from your Freedom bus, are you?
Yes, I am, coming here from No Force One. Not quite the No Force One studios. They're set up in the back. But, yes, I'm here in this beautiful Arizona mountain morning at the Garden of Freedom.
Yeah, we just saw Adam yesterday. Yeah. He came down and got a whole bunch more goodies we had on the farm here. You know, taking it up there. He had a crew come down and take down, you know, took our grandkids' playhouse. Which was like, you know, that's a thing. You know, that's a nice little tiny, you know, I got a cabin thing. So that'll work out well. Yeah. It was built really well. And so you got that. You got some domes. You got dome making. You're going to, you know, have a city village there by sometime?
Well, we have a wonderful homestead community already here in Juniper Wood Ranch. Excuse me, near Ash Fork, Arizona. So, yeah, we've got... We got a handful of people living at the Garden of Freedom right now, always building out our little piece of the community, and we hope to encourage more people to come out here. We just got married out here last weekend, Samantha Morgan Miller, Carnabucci Kokesh, and myself, and we had a civil disobedience wedding. How very appropriate, right? Just by gathering out here in violation of Ducey's orders, so. We had a bunch of people out here, and now we have a bunch of people who want to buy land. And I'm going to be sending Donna an email about how to find the plots of 10-acre pieces that are right adjoining my land that all my friends want to buy now. So I'm very excited about that.
You need a road. I mean, you know.
I got one of my wedding gifts, our wedding gifts, I should say, was a road sign for our road that says, my road. So yeah, we're ready.
Well, the thing is that last week ago, Derek and I driving back from Maine with the Love Bus, one of the stops we wanted, we just want to go visit Adam. We want to go see what he's doing with all the goodies. We got to get up there. And that bus made it all the way up. I'm telling you. You had to have people complaining about the road, man. Come on.
No, it's my road. It's the road that I built. I built a road. Everybody loves it. I don't know what you're talking about, Ernie.
No, maybe that your road on your land, but get to it was definitely not. You know, your my road might have been okay. Who built my road? Adam did that, and that's built. But get to his my road. Definitely wasn't, so I don't even want to hear that. So,
well, Ernie, I love being down 3 miles of private dirt road. I love this exact level of isolation. I love having a quarter mile of absolutely private road that no one else can legally touch in between me and the main road out here. And the main road is Cattle Drive, a big scratch in the dirt itself. But yeah, I love it, and I'm so happy. I've been here for 4 years now, and I've only actually been here about a third of the time, you know, because I've been on the road most of it. But being able to build this out, this is the new American dream. At least this is my American dream. be able to buy a bare piece of land and build a homestead from scratch.
Yeah, that's those aren't, you know, grinning about that too much. They got to, you had some trouble with the man, but pretty much it's like okay, you know, quit making us look bad, and we'll stop bugging you. You know, basically, you guys got a detente until they don't have a detente with you anymore. You know, I mean,
well, it's until the they them those come back and they want to steal some money from me using zoning as an excuse, but they're not going to get it. I've mastered this racket. They're not going to beat me on this one. We kind of forced the zoning head in Yavapai County to come out at a community meeting and say the policy is if there are no complaints, you know, we don't investigate, we don't go after anything.
They always got a satellite AI robot complaining about something.
Anonymous complaint. Yeah,
yeah, well, they do that all the time.
I know both of my neighbors. They would testify to not complaining. And if they really try to pull this again, there's a lot more people now. Since I had my run-in with zoning here 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, there are a lot more people out here now who are pushing back with me. There's a real community effort, and I haven't heard any instances of zoning bothering anybody out here lately. So far, so good.
I'm glad that, you know, somebody's blazing the trail without me having to do it. I mean, you know, oh God. All right. So thank you. I appreciate you doing it. What we're going to talk about today is we got a couple minutes in this segment. Is you're running for president of the United States of America. You got going for the
sort of.
The bankruptcy of America. You know, the disillusionment of America. Whatever the heck. You can explain
the federal
that.
Government. Well, throw the ring in the fire and take the federal government through a bankruptcy process that leaves us with 50 independent states and up to 562 sovereign native nations.
You know, that just seems so much more necessary now than it did a year ago. You know what I mean? They're going, he's got it going on now, you know. Well, there's the Libertarian National Convention. It's supposed to be in Austin, Texas at the in a couple of weeks, but it looks like they canceled that. They're moving that. Yep. They're doing something. And I got a call from – I'm a delegate from Arizona. Have been for, God, 20 years or something. And they decided – yeah, since 96. Since 96. What's that?
Wow.
14 years.
That's pretty consistent.
So they
– 24 years. So this would be your
– see, 10 – oh, yeah, 13th? 24. Yeah, this is like a lot.
This is your lucky number 13 national convention.
Damn. Anyway, so what happens is – you go there, and it's like the Liberty Nexus. You know, you have all these people, you know, from every – it's like the high – Drew Phillips put it, he goes, it's like the high school dance. It's where everybody goes to find out where the real cool people are, go to party,
yeah.
You know. So you get there, and you find the activists, and the people are actually doing stuff are not necessarily the shiny badge wearers. It's the activist. You know, that's yep. What I like about being in proximity. None of this social distancing crap. That's the whole point of it. You know, is to not be social distanced. Well, what happens now, they're going, well, we have older members that they're kind of scared and we need to social distance. Guy goes, stop. I don't even want to hear it. They had a meeting, I guess, Saturday, Sunday, and they decide what they're going to. I said, fine, you just decide whatever you're going to use, and I'll let you know if I'm going to participate or not, and you guys suck. I go, lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Well, they sure as hell don't want to follow and ain't leading, okay?
Well, so, yeah, they're enough. You know, fingers in the air.
I hate that crap. Be a freaking libertarian. I go, show some testicular fortitude here. I mean, woo man up, man. I mean, come on. You know, this is like, you know, get some women in charge. Go kick ass. Get some red pill moms or something. You know, a bunch of wimps. Soy boys, you know. So, am I expressing myself too much? Anyway, so.
I think you just did a version of the opening segment of my show yesterday. But, yes, that was the gist of it. And the crux of this right now is that there is an attempt to nominate the presidential and vice presidential nominees by electronic ballot.
Electronic ballot. Okay, now, save it. We come back. Now, we need to talk about that. We're going into
good
break.
Enough cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's a cliffhanger. Electronic, we're going to have Iowa phone voting like the Democratic Party.
Yep.
There's going to
yep.
be some. They're going to be. You know,
I mentioned that too.
These guys, whoa. Whoa. We'll be right back.
From the first letter of Dr. Idris Barber, I've healed many landlubbers, but could have healed countless more if they were willing to break the law to preserve themselves. The Crown required that I obey leeching privateers who didn't share my oath to do no harm. I was forbidden from discussing the treatments I knew patients needed. The Crown claims to protect landlubbers from bankrupting medical expenses, but only seduces them into begging for relief, while privateers monopolize the management of chronic illness. This royal alliance has constructed a medical hegemony that denies science, discredits alternative remedies, and mandates unwanted treatments, while callously ignoring the victims dying on waiting lists. They have produced a society increasingly addicted, impoverished, diseased, and suicidal. My conscientious objections and medical ambitions required not only seeing this cage, but leaving it. That's why I raised my black banner. Among pirates, the Crown's tantrums are irrelevant. You own your body without qualification. Open ocean medicine enables healers and customers to build a relationship of mutual consent. Prices decrease, quality increases, and physicians become as accessible as barbers. Customers determine their own medical care, whether that's experimental treatments, prohibited plants, controversial procedures, bootleg pharmaceuticals, or even the right to die. Any system of command and control is rejected. In time, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and cybernetic prosthetics could take the human condition beyond our imagination. Medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, and erase our fundamental physical limitations. With the Crown in our wake and the individual at the helm, we are free to pursue an unfettered life. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Adam Kokesh. El Presidente candidate for... Okay, you're not running for... What are you running for?
I'm running for President of the United States in order to throw the ring directly into the fire and take the federal government through a bankruptcy process that leaves us with 50 independent states and up to 562 sovereign native nations as the first step of localization, getting government down to the community level.
Well, that... You know, when it comes down to... We just had John Sneason... giving us an economic report in the last hour, and it was like, this is not doing well. You know, we're going to go into, you know, it's going to go down to local, and what has always happened in a lot of these countries is a bypassing of the, of the money. They don't accept it. They don't use it. They don't take it anymore. They're just like, nope, mm-hmm. Don't want it. Not going to, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. And when that happens, you know, things become scarce. Things become, you know, chaotic. They're not able to – they're already shutting down a whole bunch of food processing. Farmers are plowing under. I mean, this is going to be a food thing. This is going to be like the Ukraine, you know, after Stalin, Russia. God, we got – you control – you got your purple digital money now, right? You know, you're going to take it now that you're starving. But a lot of people are starting to grow. You know, they're buying seeds. Then they go, oh, seeds aren't an essential item at Walmart. You're not allowed to buy them.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, yep. What the hell does that tell you? This is craziness. So then you have, it's going to go back to what you've been talking about. It's going to go to where you find your local cow. You got to, across the street from me, they got four cows. You know, well, they got them for their family, unless they want to make bank. You know, what are they going to trade them for? Other food? I mean, you know, it's, you know, who's got food? He's got food. You going to have food on the Lone Prairie there, Adam? You got some food thing going on?
Oh, yes. We are working our way steadily towards food independence with a lot of geodesic dome greenhouses, beautiful bird run. And for our wedding this past weekend, we got a goat, our first goat as a wedding gift. I think that was very appropriate.
Oh, yeah, a little newbie. I saw a picture of that. That's a pretty little goat. I had three of those.
Yes,
they're cool,
is.
But they're... smart, and they just look
have,
at
you better have 10 acres.
Yeah, you better have it fenced in too, or not trees or anything, vegetation you don't want destroyed, because they'll look at you like, Yeah, I'm a goat. What do you expect is happening? You're like a dog will put a tail between his legs and feel guilty or something. You know, goats are like, stupid. I'm a goat. You know, what do you think was going to happen? So you got to be prepared for that.
Well, Ernie, what you said about localization in light of this crisis, I think, and this is a, I call it the coronaphobia crisis, not the corona crisis, because the crisis is not the virus. The crisis is the government response and the fear explosion, obviously. And there's a huge disparity in government policy between local governments, between local governments and state, between state and federal. All over the world, it is a just disorganized patchwork of responses. And if nothing else, the world is going to get to see, well, gee, their government over there isn't as big as of a jerk as our government over here. Why can't we be more like them? Just that mentality that we live in a globally connected family now, where we can see, hey, you have a crappy government over here. Our government's not as bad over here. What's the difference? What's going? Oh, well, gee, they respect individual rights, or gee, they didn't get carried away with the coronaphobia pandemic. And now more than ever, we see the fault lines of society exposed, exacerbated, exaggerated in light of the coronaphobia crisis. And the most exciting one is this disconnect between from communities to the federal government and all the federal overreach in between there. So when communities are able to set their own policy and go, well, gee, look, it was better for us than it was for them. Well, you know what? That was a little bit of freedom. You want some more of that? We got a lot more of it for you here with the Libertarian Party. We got as much as you want. How much freedom do you want? Localization, everybody gets what they want. Communities set their own policies. You can have a community of one and opt out as an individual. And only at that point are you really free. And this is the message they, them, those don't want to get out. So right. Bringing it back to the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian National Convention, the push to have a vote by some electronic means at the last minute
serves whose purpose? Why would they even consider that? Who does that serve?
Well, so first of all, when you say why, their excuses will be, well, coronaphobia. And you go, no, that's an excuse.
Lead.
What's the real
lead? Right? Quit being followers. Lead. Yeah. That was my message to him. I go, I don't want to talk to you guys. You're just pissing me off. You're just pissing me off.
Yeah. So what's the real reason? You know, it's to subvert the will of the Libertarian Party to nominate an actual libertarian this year and instead get either Justin Amash or Judge Jim Gray nominated. And with an electronic ballot, they can steal the votes. They can manipulate the process. If anybody gets to say, hey, look, we get to change how we're doing things at the last minute, whoever's doing the changing gets to control it. And as you know, Ernie, but for the benefit of your listeners who don't, the Libertarian Party meets nationally every 2 years with delegates from the 50 state affiliate organizations, and they vote on national party officers and the nomination of the presidential candidates every 4 years. So this in-person meeting really is a foundational element of what the Libertarian Party is, and having the vote in person is absolutely critical for the integrity of that vote, the integrity of the organization, and for bringing people together around a nominee.
I'll tell you about the integrity of the process. They had, did proxies 1 year in 96 when they stripped the platform to, make it more palatable for Barr.
The Portland massacre.
Yeah, it was just, man, I saw it happening, and I'm like, you guys, watch what happens. Less than a few months later, the Ron Paul revolution started. And I'm going, why would they, Libertarian Party isn't Libertarian anymore. You know, why do you think all Libertarians wouldn't help Dr. Ron Paul? They had a Libertarian that had positions that were clear. None of this mamby-pamby crap, because they didn't care. That's not their point. They're there. They're part, I'll say it out loud. Okay, wait. You guys ready? Here it is. It's part of the coctopus, okay? It is all about them, they, them, those, doing, oh, man, what did I do? I pushed a button. No, I can't. No button pushing. The they, them, those doing their crap, and I'm just going, no. What did they want? the Koch Industries and all of these campaign for the liberty, well, you know, the students for this and, you know, young Americans for whatever, all these things. Cato,
any major organization that has a huge staff.
Yeah, all these things are there for them to have a influence handles, buckets of influence or votes or activists that are young guys that don't know better that they do use to get whoever they want elected, to be kingmakers, for them to get their policies in, which is always energy something. There's always some other agenda. There's always, and they're behind, like, we got to have the TARP, or they want, you know, they're not libertarian. They just use the movement, and they have to keep the Libertarian Party from being real libertarian because they're afraid when the breakout happens, you know, they all lose control. They're part of the pyramid. So I'm going, hello? Yeah, sue me. Yeah, what are you going to do? Come get me. Get some. We don't like Ernie. He's mean, you know? I don't care. You know, God, I see there's so much evidence of this stuff. So I can see what's happening. They were worried about losing it to a real libertarian.
The political world is a...
They're worried. They're going, damn, this time it's going to be Adams going to have a big thing. We got John McAfee in there. We got Bumper Hornberger being the traditional, real constitutional libertarian type. You know, they're going, oh, you know, we don't need none of them. They go, we can put up with taxation and theft Berman because he's kind of wearing a funny hat and kind of Berman Supreme. That's kind of your traditional libertarian. They're not going to get, you know, whatever. And kind of, but then
they want the libertarians to look silly. So if they can make sure a silly-looking candidate gets the nominee, that's almost as good as their controlled opposition.
Exactly. You know, and but the thing is, when you started doing this, it was with the realization that what was coming is what's going on right now. That you go, look, man, this is going to go bad. There's no. We just need to dissolve this whole damn thing. And they were like, damn it, we don't need that. And then you know you have Bumper Hornberger. You know he's been a really good, steadfast, we're going to go back to the real yada, yada, yada. So there's two great choices right there in the direction of the party being over here, you know, the being libertarian. And you can go more anarchist and take it all the way, or you can be kind of, well, we can use that constitution thing in the
localization system.
Localization. You know,
localization.
I'm.
Everybody gets what they want.
It's going to be localization anyway. It's going to happen because it can't
Let's
not happen.
Let's do it the easy way. Right, the bigger message of my campaign is let's do this the easy way. Because if we ignore this and we get localization by collapse, we're going to be doing it the hard way, and it's going to be really ugly.
You know, if I had my choice, I would be out in the desert where there's lots of water. You know, out in West Valley here, and start farming. But I don't know nothing about no farming. You know, I can do enough, take care of myself, and kind of maybe be an inspiration like you're doing and so on. But, you know, to be commercially, you know, viable and so on, those make sure you're not. They don't want you to be successful.
Yep.
You're not allowed.
Right.
You got the wrong permit. You're doing something. So when we do this tour, we're part of this called HarvestRVing.com or something. And it is farms, ranches, microbreweries, wineries, golf courses. They threw that in there. That's good. And, you know, some other things like that to where you go, you get a free night. You don't charge you. It's only like $80-something a year or whatever. You get a free night under the agreement that you pay for $20 worth of their honey or something in the morning. Okay? So I'm going, that's cool because that's exactly what I'm looking for. I need to go where I got farm fresh produce of whatever. We're going to be eating raw. I'm going to go vegan with a couple of, you know, dead animal parts. You know, so the thing is, but, you know, good quality stuff. So Donna and I aren't going to be stocking up a bunch of stuff other than, you know, just to have backup, you know, canned whatever and beans or something. But, you know, this whole thing is going to be finding these types of people. Yes, it can be local. Yes, they are there. There's a website that we were promoting called farmmatch.com, farmmatch.com. And it was for cancer patients. There's people they needed raw food. And this one kid that cured himself of Crohn's disease created, he goes, I was spending 4 or 5 hours a week just sourcing my food. And I cured myself. Mm-hmm. But, man, well, this is crap. So he's a coder. He set up this webpage. You go, this is what I have. This is what I need. It matches you up. You go get it. You're done. You know, I'm going, this is what's going to happen. The technology, we're going to go decentralized and freaking pirate. Damn it.
Barter by drone.
.com. Somebody out there is getting it right now. All right, here we go.
Barter
by drone.
24/7.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, if you're going to Adams, there ain't no road. But I,
my roads.
He's got his road. It's the road to get to his road. But the but that, you know, that's how he likes it. He goes, hey, man, you know, the man's going to have to come by drone. You know, which is one thing you were talking, it's like barter by drone. You know, it's going to be, I mean, literally, it's going to come down to that. I'm going to order online. Matter of fact, they did have that. We promoted that about, God, it's probably 10 years ago. What happened, it was called Bountiful Baskets or something like that. You went online, and every weekend they had a delivery to a city park near you, okay? You go in, you go, I need so many pounds of vegetable, I need this, I need that, and you put in whatever it was, and you ordered it, you paid for it, you went that weekend, a Saturday, and they had a basket of food for you. And they just put a bunch of stuff in it. You got your basket of raw vegetables and food and different and whatever the heck they had, and you're good for a week. And that was their distribution system, straight from farms. They gave a whole bunch, and they just filled up a big truck, and they just filled up a basket. You go get it, boom, at the park. And then the man came, and they go, oh, no, you're not allowed. You're so not allowed. All right, screw you. We got drones, butthead. We can just deliver food with drones. It's how much electricity to charge the drone, and we're going to drop off the drone. This is, I'm telling you, it's going to be, they're going to tyrannicize themselves out of existence, which suits the crap out of me, man. You just keep it up.
Well, speaking of which, I'm not surprised that we end up finding a way, you and I, to talk about food and voting in the same conversation here. But, yes, getting to your point there about a breaking point coming, we might be at one politically this year. And this coronaphobia crisis I've described as the black swan we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
And I hadn't made the connection yet that politically, the fact that, you know, a lot of people are looking at the coronaphobia crisis going, they went too far. They overplayed their hand. They extended their reach too much. Well, I think that's happening in the political realm too, and I don't want to, in my show yesterday, I named names, but I want to point out that it's very easy in a world where the average American commits 3 felonies a day to turn anyone, to threaten anyone, to make anyone an informant or to buy someone off, to say, hey, look, we found kiddie porn on your computer, and we'll stay quiet about it as long as you do this. Or, you know, your kid's computer, or, you know, we found out that your brother happens to be a, you know, pedophile abuser, and we're going to, whether it's true or not, we're going to make that public, and we're going to ruin you, and you have no say in it. There's so many ways to threaten and bully people in this legal system. You know, informants wearing wires, getting murdered by drug dealers. This is a real thing that actually happens. So to think that it doesn't happen in the political realm would be ridiculously naive. And what they are trying to do now is make sure that the nominee of the Libertarian Party is someone, Justin Amash, who can go on MSNBC for 10 minutes and say nothing libertarian. In fact, when asked about the coronaphobia crisis, he suggests universal basic income as a better response for government, to the point where even the host on MSNBC had to call him out and say, that's not very small government, is it? And you go, well, gee, why is the media getting behind this guy? And a lot of libertarians don't have this. You know,
Wait. You're saying Justin Amash is an announced libertarian candidate?
He announced an exploratory committee last week, yeah. And so he's getting a lot of mainstream media coverage, you know. And
because it's planned. It's just the, like, yeah, but you're all buds with Bill Weld.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, don't get exactly. All squeaky clean on me, man.
The average libertarian, and this is a really easy thing to point out. This is a real important teachable moment for new libertarians to look at this and go, well, Justin Amash getting mainstream media attention does not mean he is the best choice for the Libertarian Party.
No, it's the exact opposite.
Of the mainstream, exactly. It means that he is the choice of the mainstream media. The mainstream media wants libertarians to look like Justin Amash.
Yeah. Now you got to explain to me why you're all. Now you got to explain why you're all buddied up with Bill Weld during, you know, him doing the exact same thing.
Oh no! I was buddies with him after that. You're missing the time. I'm friendly with Bill. I wouldn't say we're buddies, but I think he's more of an activist than a politician. Still, you can draw your line different places. You know, I could be wrong. After seeing his race against Trump in the Republican primary, you know, this year, I don't really know what to think of him anymore. But generally, yeah, I would rather trust someone from the grassroots of the movement, someone who's been around for a while, rather than someone who just shows up and says, well, I'm a libertarian now, and look, I've got all this media and money and mainstream.
That's what
support,
they keep teasing so libertarians with. They come in, oh, well, he's a congressman or whatever, or Ron Paul. You know, he was like a congressman back in the day in 88 when he ran. That was his big claim to fame. Then they go, oh,
right,
we got Bill Barr. Oh, we got Governor, you know, Weld and Johnson. Oh, we got, I don't care. You know, and then they're going to do this electronic thing. And I could tell from the LNC rep, I know, I can't remember his name, don't care. He's calling, well,
Longstreth,
Ernie, we need.
Your region.
Who is it? What was his name?
Longstreth. Richard Longstreth.
Whoever it was.
Was it Richard?
I don't remember. But anyway, so he just, you know, started, and they pissed me off, you know, just the second they tell me who they are. Well, I'm from the LNC. I'm already pissed off. I hadn't even talked to you yet. I'm already mad, you know, and because I knew what they were going to do. They're going to justify and ration. Well, and he goes, well, maybe you can help me out with this one thing. At the end of it, I go, lead. Just, you know, make it. And then at the very end, before I just hung up on him, because I was so pissed off, he goes, we had a good 15-minute conversation. But he goes, maybe you can help me out with this, Ernie, or this one thing. We're going to pick your brain, Ernie. We're going to need your input on this one thing. We have some older members that need to be social. Oh, shut up! I already got you. I am so sick of that. I mean, you told, that was the whole thing. They already made the decision. They already knew what they were going to do. They already had the plan. They're just trying to shove it down our throat.
Well, Ernie, yes, but I don't think they're going to get away with it. And this is the important call to action out of all of this, is that if you're involved, call your rep on the LNC. Do something to push for an in-person convention. And make sure that we have a vote with integrity, because when we meet every 2 years and you lose a vote, you can look the other people in the eye and say, well, I disagree, but this is what happened, and we're going ahead together as a party, as a voluntary collective to work together for freedom. And if we have a digital convention or a digital nominating vote, then everybody who loses is going to say, well, I just stared at my computer and all of a sudden it said Amash was the nominee. Well, screw this, I'm out of here. It's going to destroy the party. Anybody who was not voting for Amash is going to not trust the results and is going to say, all right, you know, we're out of here. But this is the corruption of the process that I think we are finally in a position to stop, Ernie. And I want to take a little bit of credit for this, because I started running for president almost 2.5 years ago now, really longer. And what I've been doing is bringing people into the party as grassroots activists, specifically to be delegates for the 2020 convention. And now we have enough people involved that I don't think they're going to get away with this. And trying to make this change at the last minute is going to be very, very difficult for them to come up with a secure voting process that the members have confidence in enough that it can be forced down our throats. Seems like a logistical impossibility at this point. We got a lot of hackers in the Libertarian Party, surprise, surprise. And a lot of them are already working to spoil this and to say, look, we're, in a sense, it's white hat hacking. You know, Nick Sarwark tried to have a test vote yesterday, by Zoom. And my friend, Dr. Kenneth Brent Olson from California, vice chair of the party there, had someone impersonate him and vote for him in this process. And to show that it can be done at this point is to say, hey, look, there's a security gap here. You cannot make this secure. This is not possible to do with integrity. and to show people that those who are trying to do it are deliberately trying to mess with the vote.
This is they're doing their job. That's what they're there for. That's why they're there, is to do this.
To subvert the will of the freedom movement.
Yep. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Adam Kokesh from the ranch farm outpost compound.
The Garden of Freedom.
Garden of Freedom. Yeah, whatever it is. It keeps changing. So I'm just going, you know, from the BDA beautiful studios here of the, where are we at? Oh, yeah, I love Buzz. So now it doesn't matter where I'm at. I don't know. I got to remember all the cities and everything. It's like a stand-up comedian or something. You got to go, or a rock star. Hey, I love you. Where am I at? You know, Atlanta. Yeah, yeah, that's it. You know? So this is...
It's nice to be here in America.
Yeah, right, something like that. So this is there's going to be pushback with the Libertarian National Committee convention. There's going to be a lot of I've smelled a rat there for decades, and I thought, I'm going, yeah, God, it's not 14 years, 24 years, holy crap. You know, I've been doing this long, and a lot of people may know I've run for national chair 4 or 5 times. You know, and it was and it was every time was to call BS on exactly this kind of stuff. And we were successful in a lot of efforts to highlight this. I go, look, I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to this, they're going to that. And we held off a lot of things. But now I'm getting to the point where the political sphere is not going to be, I think, the solution. It's going to be local and do it. Now, you can use it as a tool for the 3 months every 2 or 4 years people are paying attention. You can kind of, you know, get some message out, you know, like what you're going to be able to do. But I am so tired of so many people putting so much effort into something, getting nothing out of it, and not even learning what's going on. Now, the Lovolution with Dr. Paul, they learned. And they were encouraged by him to get in the process. Go be a precinct committee. Go with the party. Go in and see how the sausage is really made. And I encourage it, too. I go, go, I'll help you. But you're going to find out the same thing I did. It's a club, and you ain't in it, okay? Doesn't matter what little shiny badge you got. So, and they deal at the higher levels, and that's what's going on. It's going on at in the Libertarian National Convention, same.
Well, Ernie, I appreciate the, you know, agorism versus political activism challenge there to say it's not going to be in politics. And I completely agree, except that at some point, after the change has already happened, after there's been that shift in the paradigm, in the physical reality, and the understanding of what government is, and the people say, you know, we don't want to do this government thing anymore, someone has to raise their hand and say, hey, can you elect me so I can go just dismantle the rest of this thing and get it out of our way, get it off our back, and reform it to bring it back in line with the values of the people that we have today of more freedom. And I think we're already there, Ernie. I think we're at the point where you could say politics was a fool's errand, I think, 2 or 3 decades ago, you know, when the LP started, in the sense that they're not going to interview you, they're not going to let you on the debate stage, there's no internet, you can't get out in front of people without the gatekeeper's permission. Okay, well, guess what? Now things have changed, and now we can't. And I think
people like you... Yeah, but they're going after that, too.
But I think people like you you know, don't give yourself enough credit that we have already gotten to this point. And one of the metrics that I use for this is secession. When I talk about my campaign, about 50 states secession at the same time, well, how high is secession polling? It's already over 25% in a lot of states. That's a measure of how much work people like you have done over the years to change the paradigm. I mean, I'll give myself a little credit here. I've been around, you know, 13 years of full-time activism too. But, you know, all the independent media producers, all the freedom activists, we have tilled the soil. We have seeded the ground, and it's time to get government out of the way and start letting things really grow. We are at that point where we need to take government down in line with the paradigm, where we have already changed enough hearts and minds that we can start building electoral majorities to bring about significant change. We can get most of the American public to vote to get rid of the federal government and take this huge first step towards localization. I think we're at that tipping point.
No, you know, I believe you in, you know, the general public opinion. You know, it's just general public opinion. And I'm, you know, probably, yeah, if I, all right, you're going to make me vote, I vote none, y'all, you know?
Exactly.
But then I got to go vote. You know, I'm just, yeah, vote with, you know, make a garden. Vote, pull your kids out of school. You know, vote, you know, by, you know, raising some goat or something. I mean, you know, vote, out, learn how to, you know, build a masonry wall. Vote how to, go help Adam pound tires. I mean, you know, whatever. You know, he's like, yeah, come help me pound some tires. That's like real work.
Save my elbows.
But the, these skills and this is what's coming. This is the benefit. Now, they, them, those, I keep thinking of the movie, I think it was the third episode of The Matrix, where she goes, you know, it's the Oracle versus the architect, the machine, you know, program. He's just trying to balance the equation. He's just trying to get his. He doesn't understand the human spirit. He can't. They don't get it. They don't understand. Yeah, but this will happen. Well, that's not in my equation thing. I do this, and they got to do that because they got to. You know, well, that's not what's going to happen. No, I don't see that. They don't see it. They can't. You know, they don't understand, and they don't care, because what they want is just the numbers, the collateral, the Social Security number of we got to borrow money on whatever. You know, it's just a ledger to them. And then we need fewer people. There's too many NEOs out there. We got to take care of that too. You know, here's a vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
So I understand. It's. I don't want to support a process or a beast that's devouring me, and that is the political process is just that beast, unless it's used as a weapon to just educate, which is what I'm appreciative of a lot of the libertarian candidates do. So what happens? They get in charge of. Coke the Puss guys in there, and they go, well, we're going to massage it and make it and make sure it's kind of the process, and we're supporting of the process, the rule of law, the process. And I'm going, that's the whole point that we were against. The whole point of creating the Libertarian Party was to be against the machine, to oppose the cult of the omnipotent state. That's what that means.
Yes. Now, Ernie, I certainly don't mean to discount educational campaigns. I think everybody should run for office as a libertarian, even if it's to run a paper campaign and get some free media and get on some debate stages, get some interviews, whatever it is, give people a chance to put a check next to the word libertarian on their ballots. I think that's huge. What I'm doing though now is actually drawing the line in the sand. I think it's time to get beyond an educational campaign that says, look what I believe, you should believe what I believe, to say, look, here's a step we can all take in the right direction together. We can get rid of the federal government. We can localize it by one stage down. We can bring people together without educating them, without inspiring them, without motivating them, just by presenting them with an opportunity to vote for something that they already know is a better option. This is a campaign that is going to educate and is educating a lot of people, but I am not running to educate people. I am running to win. I am running to build an electoral coalition around the idea of localization, dissolving the federal government in a peaceful, orderly, responsible manner. I don't have to convince you, if you're a liberal in a liberal state or a conservative in a conservative state, that you have to agree with me on everything. You get more of what you want with your state independent and a more customized experience, more in line with your values, set up to meet your
You know the danger of what
everybody gets what they want.
I understand. And the danger of what you're saying is that it's going to eventually happen anyway. And when it does, and if there's somebody out there, you know, advocating at the right time, at the right place, at the right, you know, in the right bus with the right tattoos and the right logo, I mean, you know, whatever, you know, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's how it always happens. They go, you know, well, one person can't change the world. I go, that's the only time it ever changes. You know, it's always one person. It's always that one time, that one couple, that one incident. It's always that one. That's why Neo, which is an anagram for one anyway, you know.
Right.
So, I'm just going, I am so confident and so sure what's happening. I'm going on the road in a bus. That's how much I know. You know, so this
we're already on the road with the bus. Maybe when the lockdown is over, we can do events again with actual people. I shouldn't say that because we had a wonderful wedding with people.
Yeah, what do you mean lockdown? I don't pay attention to that crap.
Yeah. You and I are going to be touring together, bouncing around the country this year. It's going to be a good
year. Yeah, there'll be some overlap, I'm sure. This is, I'm glad you're there doing this. I'm glad, you know, you're out there, you know, and your wife now is, you know, she seems on board and, you know, she's got it going on. So that's always good to have a team. It's better to have a, you know, a wife on your team. You know, I know that for a show. You know,
I got a wife on my team.
So that works. And you got your first kid. You got a goat, you know. So you got that going on. Yeah, they got a kid. They got a goat. Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's a good one. You know, the guy gave it to you. Said, "I'm going. Okay, I get it. Their first kid. I get it. Okay." We're going to go ahead and cover more of Adam and what's going on in the party. You guys stay tuned.
This is Mike Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run webs.
There we go. I got some stuff I got to do real quick, but it's been real, man. I let me know what they're. Did they make a plan? Did they vote? They got. You know, they went through their bullshit process to do what they're going to do anyway.
The next major step is Saturday virtual LNC meeting.
They already know what they're going to do. Let me tell you,
they're going to try. So Ernie, I don't think they're going to get away with it this year. I think Sarwark is screwed up. I think he got, you know, I mean, he was a, you know, key component of Johnson getting the nomination in 16. I don't want to point fingers. I don't know what exactly happened there behind the scenes, but he, in trying to do it this year, is up against a much stronger Libertarian Party, not stronger with carpetbaggers, but with grassroots activists who have come back into the party to say, well, Kokesh is here. No, let's help him get the nomination, or at least let's make sure that we get a real Libertarian this year instead of another, you know, washed-up Republican, not quite Libertarian candidate. I don't think he's... So, about the spoiler part, based on the opening to my show yesterday has led
to... Did you send us the link to that?
You know, we just got the segment clipped out. I will do that right after this. We had several hackers approach people on my team covertly to say, yeah, this is not possible. We're going to do some white hat hacking and make sure that this doesn't happen. They're not going to be able to get away.
See, there's two things I want to share with you.
I think we're going to win.
Okay.
And the vote, remember, Nick lost the vote 9-7 Saturday, last Saturday.
Lost what vote?
He was pushing to go to a virtual convention, and that was the vote, was to explore physical options or to declare a virtual convention.
No, I told him. My thing was, I go, what, there's not enough private places? You don't have some privately owned arena, hotel, hall that is freaking begging for somebody to stand up and come in and do it? You think a parking lot could be a freaking campground? You're not... Lead! You sons of bitches! Lead!
Yeah, well, Daniel Hayes is doing that. Daniel Hayes is putting together the proposals right now for alternate location and logistics.
God, yeah. I'm just... Well, Vegas is sitting there begging for people to come lead. I think it'd be great to be Vegas. Vegas is like... We're not locked there. Screw you, man. You ready to go? The Libertarians go, woohoo, we're going to Vegas. They'd be, get your ass over here. They are so stupid. They don't see, because their agenda's different. You know, they're just stupid thinking their agenda is going to be supported by, so they'll kill it. The party's done if they do this crap. I just, you know, screw you. It'd be another something. You know, go ahead. Be my guest, you dumb shits. But the,
well, you know, the other point is if we nominate a WASD Republican for the fourth cycle in a row, the party is going to be that party of irrelevance for decades.
Yeah, which is, you know, I was happy that we got... my thing was, is getting us to the demonstration of spontaneous order and decentralization, and the Levolution did that. That's what I... So when we went to Denver in 08, the National Convention, they go, oh yeah, Ernie, we need... It's the Bob Barr Levolution now. You know, I'm going, wow. You guys so don't freaking get it. All right, let me... I got a monologue here real quick. Two things. One, when I was running for national chair in Texas, they had a convention of the state chairs. So you got 50 people there doing their whatever the heck. And they wanted to do their electronic ranked choice voting thing. They had to. We got electronic. I want to do their electronics, right? So when you do that, you have everybody's second choice is the guy that usually wins, okay? Well, what happened, I won by a landslide. And they go, we don't like this anymore. We don't want to do that. You know, I go, yeah, that's what I thought, you know. Because I remember going, you know, how I knew how it worked. I'm going, I know what's going to happen. You're going to have the guys. They're going to have their guy, and they're going to have their guy. And they're going, yeah, that Ernie guy doesn't suck, and he's saying stuff that kind of, you know, Ernie. So Ernie came, and they go, and they kept doing the Iowa thing. We got to recount it. We're doing it wrong. We did it. That, damn it. All that went away. They don't want to play that game anymore. Okay. I go, yeah, that's what I thought. They didn't understand how it really worked. Then you had when we were in there was another thing that they did. Anyway, I gotta get to doing this other stuff. But the thing is that I can see what's gonna happen. They are controlled from on higher, and for $10,000 here and $100,000 there, and a pinky swear of, you know, Bill Weld going, look at all this money available, Nick, and you can't. They are freaking crack whores. I mean, if you're going to be a hoe, be an expensive hoe. You know, I want, you know, but don't be a crack whore. They're just crack whore. I get $5 to go on my knees. Well, give me my $5, you know. I'm just, you know, $5 crack whore. You know, I'm just like, God, man, have some self-respect. If you're going to sell out for something, you know, but that's why they're there.
$35 an hour.
Yeah, bring these, come on, come after me. You know, Ernie doesn't know, yeah, you want to debate, you want to have this conversation, let's do it. You know, I'm glad that Dave Smith, you know, did the debate with Nick and just slapped him around on, you know, I was just, oh. This is so needed to be done. And I like Nick. Nick's a nice enough guy, and he's capable, but he is down the road on the wrong side of this thing. And him going to New Hampshire was, I have no idea why. All right, man, I got to finish some stuff. Peace, brother.
Yeah, see, we both got people going in and out of the bus. Hi, Donna. Mwah.
He says hi. Yeah, we're, you know, whatever. All right, talk to you later, man.
Peace.